We're going to be turning to Matthew chapter 7 this morning and just looking at a series of scriptures from this very powerful message. But before we turn there today, I want to sort of give you a quiz. Ever since, we were children, we have heard stories about pigs. And heard a neat story some time ago about Colby the pig. You ever heard the story of Colby the pig? It's a bluegrass song. Colby was a pig, and they trained him how to be a dog, and then when they told him he was a pig, he got disappointed and depressed. So anyway, we talk about pigs, and I'll give you a little quiz this morning about who these pigs are. Who are some of these pigs we have up here this morning? Who's that? Porky Pig. Did you know that, Lucas? You didn't know that was Porky Pig? Who's this? Piglet. All right, from who? Winnie the Pooh. How about this one? Miss Piggy. In fact, when Colby the pig, the one that was taught to be a dog, he met Miss Piggy and it changed his life. But anyway, who's this one? For some of you who are older, Arnold the pig. I mean, he was a very intelligent pig. Who's this one? Who? Babe. Geico pig. Yeah, the Geico pig. You know, I can't put the lizard in there because I'm talking about pigs. But anyway, a Geico pig. And then what about this one here? The three little pigs, and we all remember that story. We've all shared that story with our grandkids and our kids. We've heard it time and time again, how the three little pigs built their house out of what? Straw, and out of what? Sticks, and out of what? Bricks. Okay, but the wolves are really upset with that story, I am told, because it has damaged their reputation. And the wolves would have you know that it really didn't happen the way the pigs really tell you that it happened. The way it happened was this, according to the wolf, was that he was needing a cup of sugar. And so he went over to the first piggy's house that was made out of straw, and he asked him for a cup of sugar. But in the meantime, this pig had some ragweed growing around his house, and when he got close to the ragweed, the old wolf felt a sneeze coming on, and so he couldn't contain his sneeze. He sneezed and the house fell down. Same thing happened on the next house. And so what happened was this. Because wolves are wolves and it's in their genes. Do you see the house fell down, killed the pig? It's in the genes of the wolves to eat the pig. And so they ate the pig. And so it's not their fault. You see it all. And that's really the story that we have this today about the three little pigs. It's not that the wolf was a bad character. It's just the fact that he had a sneeze. How many of you know what this is? Leaning Tower of Pisa, or pizza, or whatever you want to call it, okay, is actually designed by an architect by the name of Pisano. And you'll notice there that it leans. He was building this tower. It's 8 stories tall, something like 185 feet tall. And they came together to build it, but the only thing they did not do when they began to build this tower was they didn't check the soil. And so the foundation really wasn't adequate to be built on the type of soil that it was built on, and so after some time it began to lean. They tried to straighten it up by correcting some of the upper stories, as we do. You know, when you're building blocks and they begin to lean, you begin to correct that. But over time, it just continued to lean. It's 18 to 20 feet off center today. And the experts tell us that someday it will fall. I don't know when that's going to be. I'm not sure when they know it's going to be. But they do tell us that the Leaning Tower of Pisa will fall someday. Well, today we're turning to Matthew chapter 5 through 7, and it concerns a story of Jesus sharing of the Sermon on the Mount. It was preached at a very beautiful place there on the Sea of Galilee, and as he shared it, there were those who gathered around. And when I was in homiletics class in seminary, they told me that, I need to stay on one theme when I preach. I don't always do that, but you need to stay on one theme. You need to preach it. Then you need to share it again, and then you need to repeat it again. So you say it, you say it again, and you say it again. But you basically stay on one theme. But when you look at this sermon, this message that Jesus shared about the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about all sorts of things. He talks about divorce and remarriage. He talks about loving your enemies. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about prayer and fasting. He talks about lust. He talks about worry. He talks about priorities of life. He talks about all sorts of things, instructions on prayer. Everything you could possibly think about, Jesus throws into this 3-chapter message. And he preaches that to those individuals that day on this mount outside of the Sea of Galilee. Now, again, when you stop and you look at this sermon, you step back and you say, well, he's preached on this, 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 and this, and this. But what he's trying to say is that we need to have a life that is fully devoted to God. And what I'm going to do, he says to you today, is to share with you some of the basics, some of the fundamentals about life. And hopefully you will live your life and base your life upon these fundamentals, these basics. Of course, since sports, you know, football has begun, and I began to think about athletics because football, and man, you know, Notre Dame beat Michigan last night 31-0. How about that, you know? That was totally unbelievable. Greg Cool was going into it saying, they're going to get smashed, you know? Today he's saying, all right, man. But anyway, you know, the coaches talk about blocking and tackling and the basic fundamentals of the game. I think about, of course, basketball as well, and I think about this man whose name is who? Who is this guy? It's John Wooden, and he coached UCLA for many, many years. He's a legendary coach. They had won 10 NCAA championships. I still remember when they had put together that long string of consecutive wins, and Notre Dame beat them in 1973. I still remember watching that game. But nonetheless, John Wooden graduated from Purdue, right? And he comes from Martinsville, but he was a tremendous basketball coach. He believed in the old-fashioned way of teaching things, however. He did not believe in flash. He didn't believe in, you know, the street kind of ball that many players play today. He believed, do the fundamental basic things of basketball, and you will win the game. And so here he coached at UCLA, put together this long winning season and these many championships. And there were people around the country who were dying to go to UCLA to play for them and to play for John Wooden. You know, we have Lew Alcindor, who became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We have Bill Walton and a host of others who went through the program, graduated, and went on to play in the NBA. But when they came to UCLA, he taught them the fundamentals, the basics. He didn't care about how they played on the playground back home. He says, here's lesson number one. And you want to know what the first practice was all about? It was, how do you put your socks on? How do you put your socks on? And they're saying, wait a minute here. You know, I've come across the nation to play for this top-notch program, and you're trying to teach me how to put my socks on, coach? I know how to put my socks on. And what he says was, you have to know how to put your socks on right. Because if you put your socks on and they develop a little bit of wrinkle in them, you'll get a blister, and then you won't be able to play, and I need you to play. So the first lesson was, this is how you put your socks on. So he's a very simple man, very down-to-earth, fundamentals, basics of life, old-school discipline. Again, no flash, none of this street ball, none of this stuff they play in New York City and in the inner city. But one year, of course, when the long hair came in, you know, you're talking about the 60s and early 70s, and many of you in here probably had hair down to here, you know, and you had this beard because you were of the hippie culture, maybe. But nonetheless, the long hair was in. And a man by the name of Bill Walton came to play for John Wooden. And when Bill Walton came in, his policy was no long hair and no beards. And he told Bill that he was going to have to cut his hair and shave his beard. And Bill Walton said to John Wooden, said, Coach, you have no right to tell me to cut my hair and no right to tell me to shave my beard. I have a right to wear my hair any way that I want. And Coach Wooden said to Bill, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that down into your own heart? I mean, do you absolutely, will you stake your life on it? And Bill Walton said, I absolutely do. I believe that. You have no right to tell me how to wear my hair. And Coach Wooden said to Bill, said, well, you know, Bill, says, I like men like you who believe strongly in what they believe in, who have opinions and convictions. I like men who stand up for things that they believe in. They're willing to stick with it. And then he said very simply, it's been nice having you on our team. We'll miss you, Bill. We'll miss you. Now, very simply, it wasn't Bill Walton's team. It was Coach Wooden's team. And if he was going to play for Coach Wooden, he was going to have to cut his hair and shave his beard. Now, here's the fascinating thing about it. Coach Wooden lived till he was about 99 years of age. He died in 2010. And every week until Coach Wooden died, Bill Walton would make contact with him, would call him on telephone, and would talk with Coach Wooden. He was more than a coach. He was more like a father to him. Now, again, we're talking about the basics here. And so when you talk about Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, we read these words. Jesus is teaching us about the basics and fundamentals of life. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, Eugene Peterson has made a paraphrase of this, which is called The Message. And I like the way that he paraphrases this first part of what Jesus says here. He says this, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on." And that just grabs a hold of me because that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, you know what, I'm sharing with you these words, these concepts, these ideas, these ideals. They're not just foundation. They're not just incidental words. They're foundational words. They're words to build your very life on. So here we have a man, two men. One is wise and one is foolish. They both build a house. And we all build houses. Some of us build ranch houses. Some of us build two-story houses. Some of us build, you know, mansions. But we all build houses. And some of those houses, you know, are the same, and some of them are different. Some of them have this kind of flooring, and some of them have these kinds of walls and ceilings. But everybody builds a house. We come together, and the houses represent our lives, of course, in our own heart and our life. But there's two builders, one wise, one foolish. They complete their house. They both look great. I mean, you have houses that are attractive. You have bedrooms, you have a kitchen, you have an ensuite, you have a living room. I mean, you have a man cave. Everything that you would want in those houses, you have built to your specifications. Both houses are comfortable. Both houses keep you warm in the winter. They keep you cool in the summer. They protect you from the wind. I mean, they're very, very nice houses. But here's the situation. One day it rains. And this rain is more than just merely a rain. It's a torrential downpour. It's a gully washer. Just like, you know, we had, a couple of weeks ago when up in Hartford City it received 10 inches of rain. I mean, it just comes down in droves and it has nowhere to go. Now, in this area of the world, we have to understand this. There were things called dry riverbeds that were called wadis. And these dry riverbeds would come down out of the mountains, would flow to the desert floor. It would rain in the mountains, and then what would happen was the rain would come down about two times a year, 2 weeks a year, down these riverbeds, and they would overflow. And so these wadis, or dry riverbeds, would overflow with water. Very bad place to build. But it was a flash flood was basically the potential. And I don't know whether you've ever seen a flash flood, but it's amazing. You know, here I was from Indiana, you know, living on this flat land, and I remember I was at San Antonio at the time, and our apartment was about 20 feet, you know, down the side of a hill like this, going down towards the lower level, and it rained one day, and I walked out the door, and about 20 feet from us, the water was actually covering the cars. It was just flowing through the streets like nobody's business. It was there. Now, in those days, in the riverbeds, when it was dry, it would sink into the desert floor. It took a little bit more than that to dissipate here, but it was just all of a sudden it was here. I mean, it began to rain. It was just here. I mean, there was nothing that you could do about it. You didn't really have time to prepare. So real estate agents say, the old-fashioned term is, what is it that determines the value of your house? It's location, location, location. Now, that's, you know, there's really more than that, but location. Where do you build your house? Very simply, it's a very bad place to build beside a wadi. It's a very bad place to build on the sand. We all know that if we've been out to the beach and we built sand castles, what happens when the evening comes and the tide begins to come in? It eventually washes the sand castle away. So here were two men who built. One built it upon the rock. One built it upon the sand. They both looked attractive, but when the rains came, the flash floods came, they were the one who built his house upon the sand, it was washed away. Now notice again what Jesus says. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine, verse 26, and does not do them will be like the foolish man. So we need to hear and we need to heed. We need to hear and we need to obey. And Jesus is saying, if you don't choose to build your life on me, if you don't choose to build your life upon my words and my foundation, what will you build your life on? I mean, people have built their lives upon their family, upon their ambitions, upon their dreams, upon their career. But what happens when your dreams die? What happens when your career, you know, ends? What happens when your job is taken away? What happens when your body begins to diminish and you begin to show wrinkles and you don't have the strength to do what you've always done? How many of you remember the 8-track player? How many of you still have an 8-track player and buy tracks for it? You know, you might have one, but you're not buying too many tracks for it, are you? How many of you still remember the Commodore computer? All right? Yeah, man. Bummer. I mean, I wouldn't want to own one of those today for anything unless it was worth $1 million, you know. Slower than all get out. How many of you remember the Henry J or the Edsel? All right. You know, how many of you ever drove a Henry J? You did? All right. How many of you ever had a Edsel? You had an Edsel? I see you sinking down over there. You know, it'd be worth more than that today. But anyway, you know, things come and go. What do you build your life on? I mean, things are temporary. Things are eternal. The rock speaks of stability. It speaks of permanence. The sand speaks of things that are temporal, the things that are not eternal in any way. And so the rock is Jesus. The rock is his principles. Now, I may have shared this illustration before here, but I just, you know, there's some examples and some men that just capture my heart. This man is a man whose name is Eric Wenemeyer. And back in 2001, he climbed to the top of Mount Everest. 163 people have died trying to climb to the top of Mount Everest. You know, I thought that at one time I might like to climb it, but after I read the statistics, I'm saying no. You know, I climbed some mountains a couple weeks ago, and man, I don't think I could make it up the first mile. But nonetheless, you know, a Time magazine article is written on him, and it says, "What blind faith." You know why they call it blind faith? It's because at the age of 13, he developed a degenerative eye disease, and he literally became blind. He climbed to the top of Mount Everest, and he could not see. How did he make it to the top? Well, what we discover as we read his story, and here is his story, is that he was actually following a climber in front of him who had a little bell attached to his pack. And he would follow the sound of that little bell. He also followed the sound of the pickaxe. He would discover and hear the sound of the pickaxe, and so he would know which way to go. There was also a climber in the back of him who would say, you know, 2 feet to the right, death. And he would know to go 2 feet or so to the right, to the right, and keep on the right path. But what would have happened if Eric had not listened to that bell? What would have happened if he had not listened to the pickaxe or to the person saying 2 feet to the right, death, fall? He would never have made it to the very top. In whatever life throws at us, we need to learn not only to hear, but to obey and to heed. To everyone who has ears to hear, let him do such and such. Again, if we don't build our life on Jesus, who are we building it on? Again, is ambition, careers, dreams? What are we building our life on? Facebook? You know? Reputation? Authority? What is it? Money fails? Friends disappear? Stock market falls down? What are we building our life on? I have also fond of this other person that I want to share about. And I have shared his story in several services where a person has lost a loved one. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of times I have a funeral for someone who is not a believer. And it's very difficult to do a sermon or do a funeral for someone who doesn't believe, and yet I am a pastor and I'm sharing the truths of God. And so I'm hoping I can connect with them in some way. This is a person who is actually without an arm. His name is Dave Dravecki, and some of you have heard me share his story. Dave Dravecki was playing for the San Francisco Giants. You know, everybody's dream, every young man's dream is to play baseball or basketball or something. He had his dream fulfilled. He was playing for the San Francisco Giants. And one day while he was playing, he heard or felt something snap in his left arm and went to the doctor and discovered that he had cancer in his bone and he was going to have to be treated. And so they treated him. And after going through chemo treatments and radiation treatments, he was able to recover from that. And the first game back, he pitched against the Cincinnati Reds and won the game 4-3. A week later, he was out on the mound again, ready to pitch. And as he threw the ball, he heard a snap. In fact, everyone in the stadium heard the snap. and he had to go back in to the physician and discovered that the cancer had recurred, and now he would have his shoulder blade and his left arm amputated, and of course his baseball career, you know, diminished. He could no longer play ball. Him and his wife wrote a book about the experience, and he travels the country sharing his story. And sharing his story, most of all, in the context, is how do you get through times like this? And his story is simply this. He says, you know what? Throughout my life, you know, I've been promised a lot of things, but nobody ever promised me that life would be fair. He says, every one of us is going to have problems. Every one of us is going to have troubles and adversity. But he says, the only way to handle it is to take our eyes off ourselves and our circumstances and to put our eyes upon God. And people have criticized him, and people have ridiculed him, saying to him, ah, that's just a bunch of baloney. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just trying to put on a front. He says, no. He says, the only way I have been able to endure this is to put my hope in God. To put my hope in God. You see, here's a man who's built his life upon the rock. Even though life and even though situations come his way and the flash floods come, he understands to base his life upon the stable things of life, and that person is Jesus Christ, who will never leave us and forsake us. Now, Dave Dravecki pitched for the San Francisco Giants. Who do we have here? It's the Golden Gate Bridge. The Golden Gate Bridge, which is out in San Francisco. And here's a bridge, of course, that is amazing. Whenever there's a terrorist alert in America, this bridge always receives increased attention because it's a major thoroughfare between the two areas there. But when you stop and think about it, the Golden Gate Bridge is built over the San Andreas Fault. And you're saying, who in their right mind would have built a bridge over the San Andreas Fault? You know, weren't they even thinking? But here's all these steel girders. You got the steel cables, the concrete roadway. It sways 18 to 20 feet whenever the wind blows. Now, of course, the Mackinac Bridge, they close it down in the wind, and I'm sure they do the same thing here, but I can't imagine that. You know, it sways that far. How does it stay together? But here's the secret to its durability. It's the two towers on this end and the other end. And as I got written up there, it's the flexibility, but more than the flexibility, it's the towers are anchored in the rock that's beneath the water, that's beneath the ocean there, the sea. That's what enables that bridge to stand amidst the storms, amidst the winds, amidst all the things that happens to it. It's the towers that stand there in those stones. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to us in this sermon. He's saying, you know what, life is going to throw a lot of things your way. And you can choose to base your life on this or this or this or this or this, but the only way you're going to make it through is to make certain you've got your life built deep into the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is Jesus Christ. And I could recount example after example example of those who have persevered and who have held fast because they understood what it meant to have their hope in God. The psalmist went through some very tough times, but he says, you know, I'm going to put my hope in God. Viktor Frankl says, you know what, you can take away everything that I have to those Nazi guards, but he says, you will never take away my faith in God. It was their faith in God that helped them through the midst of the storm. And so very simply this morning, this is a message that we've all heard. You know, it's something that we've all heard and read in the scriptures, but we need to be reminded of it every once in a while because we begin to drift. Are we building our lives on the rock? And are we allowing Jesus Christ to be the focus of our life? Because life can stink at times. And life can throw us all sorts of things. But when you have your life based upon the rock, he will help you endure and withstand the storm. Are you building on the rock? Location, location, location. Location, location, location. Where are you building? It matters where and upon what you build. Precious Lord, today we come. And Father, I can recount story after story and individual sharing people just crying out, and as we even said last week, you know, beating on your chest with tears running down their cheeks, saying, God, why? And yet, Lord, we come today, not always understanding why, but knowing that, above all, we need to keep our lives in the rock, in the principles, on the Word, knowing that one word of your promise has ever failed, and knowing that you have never failed, that you're unchangeable, you're unshakable, you are still on the throne. Father, I pray today for those who are struggling. I pray today for those who have gathered. I pray for myself, Lord, that you'd help us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to continue to make certain that we're founded and grounded in the rock. And regardless of the temptations, the adversity, the adversary whispering in our ears all sorts of doubts, may our faith remain firm. And even as Dave Dravecki says to those who doubt his sincerity, I'm going to put my hope in God, and he's going to see me through. Father, thank you for being present today, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.